Man and Brother on Air. Greetings, everyone. This is Revolutionary Warrior, Brother Michael Washington, right here in Oklahoma City. Brother Baba Wetafa, father of many nations. It is good to see every one of you out there today. Hopefully that everything in your family is going well and that you are able to see the light as the light is shining from the east. We're right here in Oklahoma City on People Power Radio. I am Brother Baba Wetafa, father of many nations, my co-host. Amelia Yubo is not here quite yet. But, again, she usually does show up. So, again, we hope that everything is all right with her. Tonight, y'all, we're going to be talking about actually releasing our political prisoners now, part two. We have a brother on who has been in the struggle now for almost, like I said, 50 years or more that I personally know of him. I don't know. I haven't been knowing him that long. However, I do know after investigating and looking him up that he has been at least in the struggle for 50 years upon my research. And that is Brother Curtis Mullins from Tulsa, Oklahoma. And he is also, again, ready to lighten us up as he did last week with his revolutionary stance against this repressive neo-colonialist as well as colonialist government that is designed to perpetrate and keep the African-American community in handcuffs, in slavery, suffering, and death. So tonight we're going to be doing a part two. Again, I'm your host with the most, and Sister Miyad is also the hostess. Let me say to y'all that on this radio show, we are going to let you know that we don't believe in pulling punches. We don't care if you have friends that we speak against. Again, it's not intentionally anything personal against you. However, if your friend is in the wrong seat, he can't possibly be a, he or she cannot possibly be a friend of yours, quote unquote. So, in other words, we are talking about black revolutionaries who have been locked up for more than 48 years, more than four decades in prison for simply saying, "Hey, I don't believe in the United States racist government policies, practices, and procedures." Again, you're wicked in the United States government under the FBI, the CIA, and all those other agencies. In other words, even the National Guard and other persons like that is perpetrated by these Caucasians who run it. Brothers and sisters, they do not include you and me in the mainstream of America's politics, America's mainstream of economic socialism and education. So we have to understand that. Again, these brothers and sisters who are incarcerated today are incarcerated because they're not like, not because they have done something wrong physically, mentally, spiritually, or emotionally against the policies, practices, and the wicked government procedures. No, they simply are political prisoners because their actions they carried out in support of legitimate struggle for self-determination. I want y'all to understand that, number one. It is for self-determination that these brothers and sisters are still confined after all these years. And Sister Shelly Secor, right there in Canada, Cuba, excuse me, she can't come back home because she's a real revolutionary in the struggle, been fighting for many years. We also have our brother Mumi Abu-Jamal, and, of course, Brother Imam Jamal Alameen, who are formerly known as H. Rap Brown, and former political prisoner Geronimo Pratt has just recently gotten out about 10 years ago. So, again, y'all, and being again, one of our revolutionaries tonight we want to get ready to quickly talk about is Brother Curtis Mullins himself, who was very involved into the political and still yet in the struggle of our African-American brothers and sisters here in the Western Hemisphere. So, again, let's go to the line here and talk to Brother Curtis Mullins. Brother Revolutionary Warrior, what's going on? Talk to me. What's on your mind there?
There's a lot on my mind, but I think it should be on the mind of all African-American people in America. They are in serious, serious trouble. I heard over the radio tonight that the majority of people who died from COVID were African-American people, and they left thousands of children and families with no income. If you got a group of people and they got children and grandchildren and they were the head
right,
of
right.
the household and they got COVID, now ain't nobody gonna take care of them. But look at all of these people that's coming from Herzegovina and Afghanistan
uh-huh.
and all of these places and that Biden is making a place for them in the United States of America, providing them with free health care, with food and clothing, and making sure that they have the things that they need to survive, including college education. And
uh-huh.
he's got all of these African-Americans that COVID 15 and 19, whatever they want to call it, have been killed by. They can't go to the United States government and say, "Hey, we need some help." What you gonna do? You know, it's a sad situation, but a situation that's gonna get much worse than what it is right now.
It is, brother. I tell you what, you're definitely on point. So what do you suggest we do as far as our political prisoners? I want everybody to know we don't just have political prisoners right here in the United States. We have brothers, revolutionaries like Brother Mamiya Abu-Jamal and those people like that here, true enough. But, hey, we have revolutionary warriors right there in Africa, Jamaica, in Sri Lanka, and on and on and on. So, Brother Curtis, so you've been in that struggle for many years. You've done a lot of travel through New York and Africa. Why is all this stuff going on against the African? What is it, the African-American community? What is it about us that stands out that make everybody just want us to just be shutting up? What's the deal on that? I see Sister Mayette. We'll get with you just a second, my sister, if you give us in a second.
Okay.
Go ahead, talk.
Are you talking to the sister?
No, I was talking to you, Mayette. I'll tell Mayette. We'll get with her just a second. But she just popped on. I was asking you a question. What is it that they hate about the African-American? Well, Africans in the diaspora, which is you and me, what is it they hate about our sister Mayette and others who are real revolutionaries who've proven? What is it that they hate about us? What have we done to make these people want to lock us up, take our freedom from us, and keep our mouth muzzled? What is the fact? Brother, you've been old enough. I mean, you can definitely see stuff that I haven't even been close to even seeing. So, I mean, why we have to go through that? Did you hear me, Kurt? Let's go to our sister Mia. He probably think he kind of got disconnected. Yeah, I think he did. He's coming back on now. He's got disconnected. All right. Brother Curtis, is that you? I see you got accidentally disconnected. You all right?
Yeah, I'm cool. I was hitting these buttons trying to get back to you, you know?
Yeah, go ahead. You're fine. You're so good. Did you hear my question?
What can we do?
Yeah, what can we do about this being this on the African American community?
Yeah, well, the one thing that always hits me up on the top of my head is conditions. Conditions is the only thing that's going to bring African American people together. All the literature that we write. From when we first was forced to come here against our will, ain't going to mount to a row of pins. Conditions is what's going to create the thing that's going to pull us together, and we're seeing a lot of that every single day. As an example, since 1980, 10,000 African American youth have been killed by the police.
Wow! Now, man, since 1980, 10,000 of them. Oh.
According to the Center for Disease Control, and anybody want to check that out? All they got to do is check with the Center for Disease Control. Don't take my word for it.
Now, wow!
10,000. Now that's about the same time that the United States government began to bring neo-colonialists. What do you call these people? Excuse my, hold my language, because sometimes I get to talking about
brother,
this.
Brother, come
now.
On. You say what you need to say. We're not babies on this show. Like I said, talk to me. If you call a motherfucker or whatever, excuse my language. If that's what you need, to express yourself, come on with it.
I say.
That's what I wanted to say. Neo-colonialist, Hispanic, Negro, passing for white, who were responsible for killing some of their own mothers and fathers as mercenaries for the United States government, whose military advisor over there at the time was the Secretary of Education's brother, and they call him the prince. Now, not only is prince responsible for the murder of all these people in Central and South America. They sent him to the Middle East, which is East Africa. To destroy the Iraqi government. He's responsible for all of the deaths over there for children and mothers and fathers. And now he's living like a king here in the United States government. And,
wow.
And ain't nobody charged him with genocide. Now he's responsible for organizing mercenaries in the Middle East to kill their own mothers and fathers. And ain't nobody said nothing about that. But in Herzegovina, what's this thing that happened in Herzegovina?
Herzegovina,
Yeah, okay. Now, that's another story. So if I seem abstract at times while I'm talking, if I remember the whole thing as one aspect. Now, these people that the Russians are fighting, I don't side with neither one of them. But I'm going to tell you a little.
Not me either. We're finna call up. She don't feel sorry for me because, like I said, they've been jumping on black folk, beating us up, kicking us behind the curb. We can't get out of there quicker than that. Hey, man, I'm just going to tell you, man. Mayak, what you think about what he said about the people? I mean, in other words, talk to me, sister. Tell me what's on your mind. I don't want to fix your brain set to do what you don't want to say. Talk on the subject you want to talk about. Again, our political prisoners. What's going on with you?
Like I said last show, a lot of things that go on within our community all intertwine with each other. So even the war that's going on out there, which for one, I'm not standing behind any of that because, you know, even Ukraine themselves, you know, pretty much put our brothers and sisters on the front line.
That's right.
Don't know anything about weapons. Don't know anything about self-protection. They are there to get their and to go on from there and to be, you know, and to go back to their home. You know what I mean? So they're out there starving them. They're out there putting them in like mini concentration camps and then letting them, you know, telling them, hey, get on the front line and fight for us. There is no way that our people across the nation that come over there just to learn to study abroad should be put out there, you know, to fight on the front line for crap that y'all put together, that y'all fight for. We ain't in this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're not
in
this. And when you're talking about the refugees and all this stuff, y'all not talking about the black people. Y'all not talking about us African-American people. That's bull crap. You know what I mean? We seeing what y'all doing to our people. So, I mean, hey, in my words, I don't care if they kill each other. That's their problem. That's not ours.
Yeah, you got right to feel that way.
That's their opinion. It's sad that the innocent people that are not the ones that started or created or, you know, doing all of this stuff in Ukraine have to deal with the innocent lives that are lost. I'm not sensitive to that portion because I don't feel like they need to be subject to it either, even their people. But at the same time, they don't correct their people. They're going to continue to put them in situations like this where they're losing lives within their own community. But when it comes to us, we shouldn't even be out there. You know what I mean? They're pretty much holding us hostage. You know, and our political prisoners. Prisoners on that end, they don't deserve to be in prison because of their, you know, their beliefs, because of their agenda.
Yes, come on now, Brother Curtis. You say you're right on that point, though.
This is Sister Robinson.
Yeah, I was just saying, you know what I mean, as far as when it comes to our political prisoners, we have to show them that we are standing with them, because if they only see them alone and maybe a little bit of us standing with them, they're going to say, all right, well, we got enough force to try to, you know, keep them here. Oh, well, they ain't got nobody standing with them. So, yeah, we can railroad them. Yeah, we can do whatever we want to them. Once they see us actually banding together and standing with, you know, with our wrongfully incarcerated brothers and sisters and our political prisoners, then they gonna start to, okay, if I keep doing this, such and all these people finna come out and they finna, you know, make some noise. They finna, you know, pull their lawyers, their, you know, their people together in order to fight us back, you know. So they're going to start thinking, putting us in those positions when they see us unite right now. And even, you know, before I was born, yes, we did have unity, but at the same time, the unity that we need now is going to be much more than what we had. We're going to need three times more this generation and in this time, because they think, okay, I can just sit and keep doing the same thing. We know how
you
know
said
how
that perfectly right.
We're going to have to come with force. We're going to have to come in numbers. We're going to have to come and put all of our differences aside like the white man did. They can take they can take a hillbilly and a rich white man, and if they all on the same page with this Trump situation, you saw all they came all together when it was time to make some noise. So we need to take that same theory and apply it to our community and actually come together. No matter what our differences are, we're on the same agenda. We're on the same thing. So I'm gonna end it at that. Before I keep talking.
Woo! Well, I mean, you lit it up. Sister Robinson was wanting to comment on what you were saying, too, as well. Come on, sister, up there from Detroit. I think this way. Talk to me. What's up with you?
Yeah, I just wanted to make the comment that we have to start holding ourselves accountable as well, because we have political prisoners that have been in these prisons for years. So it's no new topic. Okay, the longest serving political prisoner is Rochelle McGee. He's been in prison for 59 years. Okay. Now, in addition to that, we have Sundiata Okoli. So if you know about Asada Shakur, then how can you forget Sundiata Okoli? Okay. With Sundiata Okoli, he is now 85 years old. He served about 50 years in prison. He is not a danger to society at all.
That's right. Come on.
He should have been released on several occasions. Even Rochelle McGee had been turned down for parole like 13 times.
Yes.
Just out of spite. And some believe that he's being held like that because of August the 21st, when George Jackson took the prison over. And he made the decision.
At us.
Yeah, he made the decision to survive, to go, but he did not plan that incident. So a lot believe that he's being treated that way because of that day. Okay, then we have a sister, Reverend Joy Powell. We have Reverend Joy Powell, who's been locked up for 16 years. She's an anti-police brutality activist. New York City, she's been locked up for 16 years. Okay, she was then subject to a second wrongful conviction on an 18-year homicide case and sentenced to 25 years to life. Okay, so as a result of that, we support her. We love her. This is a queen warrior. Before she went to prison, she was the type of sister that took people in her home, took people off the street, and made her home available where she fed people, done their hair, clothed people, and so on and so forth. So if you want to reach out to Reverend Joy Powell and write these political prisoners. Let them know you care. You can send books. Check with the prison. You can send softback books. Get to know them. Find out what they like. Send books. But if you want to contact Reverend Joy Powell, you can write her at Bedford Hills Correctional Facility. Again, that's Bedford Hills Correctional Facility. Her number is 07G0632, P.O. Box 1000, and that's Bedford Hills, New York, at 10507. And you have to use JPEG. So you just type in www.jpay.com If they don't let you send a book, you can send her a little something for commissary.
Okay? Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And then another, just to answer your question, is that when we have public servants, the police serving, telling people what they can do and what they cannot do, it's always going to be a problem, okay? Just like we had a former political prisoner, Jaleel Montekin. He was supposed to speak on April the 6th, and the police stopped him from speaking, okay? He's still not being treated as a free man. He served his time. He served his time.
Right.
He's an educator. He wrote the book, We Are Our Own Liberators. I advise everybody to read the book.
Wow.
If it's out of print, get it on Kindle, read it. It is amazing. It is a whole political... the name of the book is We Are Our Liberators, or We Are Our Own Liberators. The book is awesome. And the police stepped in and told him he couldn't even speak at the college that want him to speak. And this is at Brockport in New York State University, okay? So when we have the police is public servants, they're supposed to serve us. Just like the politicians have been made to dictate to us, we the people. We tell them what we need. I don't see any of that going on. I don't see anybody, people are not doing enough. They are acting like the political prisoners are not even there. You know, you're talking about elderly people in cages, like Sundiata Okoli is coming down with dementia. These guys have suffered through COVID. And all of this, they have medical problems. And what they're doing is holding our political prisoners until they are in hospice care and releasing them
to
the families, which is
throwing it in the face. Yeah, you're right.
Wrong on so many levels.
Let me say this here. And definitely, don't you go nowhere quick just yet. I'm going to let you introduce you to a gentleman who personally was there fighting on the front line, Brother Rochelle McGee. Brother Curtis, take the show, brother. I know you're familiar with some of the words the sister was saying to you.
I've been working on Michelle's case for 35 years now. And that brother, she mentioned, I can't pronounce his name. I ain't too good on pronouncing revolutionary names. But I just got through talking to him. He spent 35 years in jail before they let him go. And he's kind of like restricted. But he ain't restricted all that much. He talks and he writes. You know?
All right, now.
He is the true definition of a revolutionary. Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
How you pronounce his name, sweetheart?
How you pronounce his name?
Jaleel.
Tony Bottoms.
And I have problems with the last name. I'm going to give it a try, but I'm going to spell it for you. M-U-N-T-A-Q-I-M. Mutakim. That's what I think is the pronunciation is. Amazing gentleman. He wrote he didn't. This book is old. He has books that's been out there for years. And this is what I'm saying. We don't pay attention to our seasoned freedom fighters because they've laid the blueprint out for us. All we have to do is read the book.
Right.
Read the book. The book is telling you what to do. Okay? So we have to, the first line of defense is education, as far as I'm concerned. Because if we don't have education, then we don't have the know-how to fight. We don't know how to fight. We don't know how to get these people help, our brothers and our sisters that stuck behind enemy lines, being treated any kind of way. How does this place have political prisoners and you have an amendment that's saying freedom of speech, a First Amendment? So make it make sense.
Bam.
This place don't even recognize that we have political prisoners. Okay?
Backwards when it comes
their human rights are being violated when they're being abused in these jails and they're not getting their medication. The meals are horrible. They're being beat. We're not even seeing the things that they are going through because
nobody can't even imagine
the abuse and everything else on so many levels. And he's, and yet
that's
they still
right.
ride. They still write books.
Say.
They still are fighting from behind enemy lines for us. Instead of us fighting.
That's right. I say. Let's go back to Brother Curtis. And sister, don't you go anywhere. Cause we, and then we're going to go to Sister Mayette. I think she was trying to say something right there. But we want to give Brother Curtis a little bit more time because he definitely wanted to tell a bit more about what was going on. Go ahead, Brother, and then Sister Mayette. And then y'all just going to keep the round table rolling. Go ahead.
I know the brother from way back in the day. His name, I knew him as Tony Bottoms when he was out on the street. He spent pretty close to 30 years in the penitentiary. And there, some brothers, they don't even allow them to eat the food that's prescribed for them for their health.
Right, they read that religious diet or whatever. Oh, man, I tell you, he's sick ass. Man.
Yeah. The thing that bothers me more, one of the things that bothers me is when they started talking about drug addicts and how they get treated, they don't never talk about the Supreme, the head of the Supreme Court, Rehnquist, who was a drug addict, you know? And Rupert Murdoch purchased Black Entertainment Television.
I heard him.
And put Colin Powell's cousin in charge of it to create opinion. And that opinion is being spread out and all over the world on the radio, and we can't even talk against it because they got it so locked up. But
wow.
We need to get people to understand what's going on. Listen to this. Genocide is being committed against African Americans. And the political...
You're breaking up, Curtis. You're breaking
religious,
up.
The political and the religious community are not coming out and saying anything about it. But genocide is being committed against African American people in America. You got to distinguish who are the African American people. There's a distinct line between African Americans and those people that come over here on their own free will to work with the United States government. For prizes that they give them. African Americans are a distinct group of people. They were forced to come here against their will. All other African people came over here on their own free will.
I don't care
where they come from. African Americans are the only people that was forced to come here against their will. And they are treated like shit. Excuse my language. And they
man, don't hold it. We ain't no babies on this. I keep trying to tell you. Let them emotion express itself, brother. Man, if you bottle it up, you need to express it. Come on with it.
Yeah. They bring these people.
Don't get me started saying
it.
Shit, because I can still do it.
Awesome.
Yeah. All of them are not. Look, Kabinga of Rwanda. He's responsible for the butcher knife killing of 500,000 Rwandans in Rwanda. The United States government. And Britain brought him to the United States and trained him at the United States Military Academy, sent him back to Rwanda, and made him the president of the country. He's still over there now. He got four kids, and all of them are going to universities in the United States of America. I was out at the airport one day when they plane flew in the 1990s, and all of these African youth got off of the plane. And in the area where you pick your bags up, I was driving a taxi cab out there. In the area where you put your bags up, I was standing out there waiting for a passenger. Okay. And one of these young men walked over to me, and he wanted to practice his English. So I was just listening to him. And this man who was in charge of them, he walked over to him, and he slapped that boy so hard, man. I mean, with an open hand on his face.
Oh, man.
Wow.
And he looked at
me. I think we'd have been
like,
turning that place up real, man. Hear me? Yeah, Lord. I mean,
for real.
Jesus.
And he looked at me like he was going to hit me. He asked me, he said, "You want some?" I said, "You goddamn right I want some." You know?
Tell you something else, man.
Now, there's a whole plane load of these Rwandan troops, mercenaries that were killing their mothers and their fathers in Rwanda, brought to the United States to be trained. Now, these kids that they brought over here to be trained, they're not only from Rwanda, they're from all of them areas. They're bringing them over here to take the place of African-American people. And,
gotcha. Oh, yeah, a lot of African brothers coming over. You're right. You for real.
Yes. Very few of them that I met, I found out where they were from a friend of mine who was from Benin, who was a country above Nigeria, you know?
Oh, Benin,
Yeah, he told me, he says, man, those are Rwandan mercenaries. They killed their mother to get over to the United States. And I'm kind of like seeing that attitude in some of these Jamaicans that they bring in here. Now, I'm not just saying that it's them. There's a lot of them that they bring in over here that they going to need.
I know, I'm telling you, I see them.
Infiltrate the communities that we live in, like the Greenwood Cultural Center in Oklahoma, where they taken over the social organizations that spread the word about what they're doing in Oklahoma. It looks good. But it's very bad if you don't understand the dynamic.
Let me cut you off for just a second, brother, and go to Sister Mayatton, and then, like I say, the round table, we're still open, and we're going to get, definitely, you know we're going to come back to us. You and Sister Robinson, don't y'all go anywhere, because if you do, I'm going to catch both of y'all, hit y'all on your big toe, and y'all can't catch me. Go ahead, Sister Mayatton. Go ahead.
Thanks.
I can say that because y'all can't catch me, so I get it. I can say that y'all can't get to me. Go ahead.
You know, it's very important for us to, you know, like she was saying earlier, you know, show some accountability for the fact that a lot of us are in a position to where we could actually help our political prisoners, but a good chunk of those, even percentage of people, still do not try to do anything to help. It's more of a showcase in a revolutionary. It's not a showcase. This is not a show where we just walking around here just pretending all the time. This is real life. This is a real lifestyle that you live because you are willing to stand up for other people and for our political prisoners to be in jails, being mistreated, no proper food, you know, being held for excessive amounts of time, you know, just in a certain specific area. You know, some of them, I've listened to some couple documentaries where they were isolated. They were standing in their own filth, you know.
Oh, yeah.
All these things, you know, happen to them just because they believe and they think the same way as we do, the ones that are not in the same positions as our political prisoners. We, you know, us revolutionaries that are doing things out here, even the ones that are not active, but if you attach revolutionary to your name and you attach, you know, our Marcus Garvey made flag and call yourself a Pan-Africanist, then I need you to not sit back on the sidelines and not do anything about what's going on with our political prisoners and also our wrongfully incarcerated brothers and sisters. I'm not gonna cut on the side and get all pretty with it. That's what it is. You know what I mean? If you take up those names or titles, that you are literally in the light and in the position to help, whether you're sending letters, you're talking, you're communicating with the families. You know, it's something that we all can do. And if we don't come strong in this revolution, they're going to try to run us over. And they're chilling and relaxing now because they see that we're still divided. They still see that we are dealing with not cooperating with each other. You know what I mean? They see that. Exactly. So that's why they're chilling and sitting back, and they're just doing all this little sparks and fires that they're setting off by, you know, wrongfully incarcerating our brothers and sisters, shooting, killing, robbing, raping, doing all these horrible things on a small scale to us. Just imagine what we're going to have to face if they amp it up a little bit more. You know what I mean? So we need everybody. We need our political prisoners. We need our wrongfully incarcerated individuals. We need even our mentally challenged people, because they're not all lost in the head. You know what I mean? They have sense. They have the ability to operate in society, but those are our people too. You know what I mean? So getting all of our ducks in a row and really looking at the importance of each aspect of the revolution, and knowing that if you take up a title or you call yourself whatever, minister, Pan-Africanist, whatever you want to put on the end of your name or in front of your name, you're going to need to step up. We cannot have this anymore. We're going to have to do something. We're going to have to be accountable for our own communities, our own lives, and live the true example. Stop playing. Like,
All right, sister. Let me say a few minutes, Sister Robinson, then we're going to get to you, then back around the curtain. Y'all got me lit up here. Y'all know me. I don't talk long, but I just want to say this here while we're on the subject, because all of y'all, you're beautifully on point. But let me say, Sister Maria, thank you for that. Let me say this here, y'all. There are many thousands of revolutionary-minded people, again, as all y'all say, politically, you know, conscious prisoners in the United States jails and prisons. But at the same time, you got to realize the United Snakes government, in which we are up under, this imperialist government, again, who stole us from Africa, as Brother mentioned earlier, y'all got to realize we were brought here to the Western Hemisphere for a political and economic gain. Anything else doesn't matter. Okay? For the most part, again, we still recognize as 3/5 human. In the United Snakes Constitution, excuse me, y'all, it's just my phrase. I mean, I don't want to mention it. Y'all don't have to. But this is a movement, y'all, that we need to get. There are more than 100 political prisoners now existing in the United States alone, simply because they have a revolutionary idea and a stalwart disapproval of the wrongful incarcerated and denial of their right to self-determination. Let's get that point clear. They don't want these political prisoners to have self-determination. Why? Because they lock them up because the influence is so strong. If you look at those brothers and sisters before they got incarcerated and the large movements they were in, this is why the government said, oh, no. So in other words, what I'm trying to tell y'all, J. Edgar Hoover and people of that nature, the FBI and those people like today, CIA, yes, and other national association and other military institutions. Let me say this, Sister Robinson, I'm going to give you the floor. These people, comparatively speaking, do not want people like ourselves. And you can best believe all of us that's talking tonight, we have been targeted. I don't care who you are. If you're talking about being an anti-government official, if you're talking about anti-racism policies, practices, procedures, discrimination, you are a target. And I don't give a doggone if you're out there. So, Sister Robinson, talk to him a little bit more. Do you think that's a true statement, or was I just saying something?
Definitely a true statement, because now you're getting into COINTELPRO. A counterintelligence program that was started by J. Edgar Hoover, who himself is a mulatto. He's half black.
That's right.
A lot of people don't know that.
Right.
And so
that's right.
that went on, they had their hands in a lot of surveilling a lot of leaders that were powerful, like you said. Anybody that's powerful enough to lead the people in a positive way for change pretty much got assassinated. And, you know, we're looking at Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and big names like that. So it's like you're almost afraid to see another big leader coming because then I'm thinking about Dr. Khalid Muhammad. People like that, you know, that are that are not here anymore. So, you know, the fight for political prisoners, prisoners of war, the wrongfully convicted, the over-sentenced, okay, all of that, you know, is going on. But mass incarceration is big business because these big corporations are getting free labor, and they're not paying taxes on their work. Who paying the taxes? The oppressed people, the people that make no money paying the taxes. So this is a huge issue, you know. And as far as coming to this country, you know, when someone calls your ancestors slaves, correct them and tell them that they were prisoners of war. Hey. We were not slaves. We were prisoners of war. Okay?
Wow.
So until we take a stance and come together or work independently, we are behind. We are so far behind. We are trying to catch up. We're trying to implement a plan. We're trying to create a local plan. We're trying to create a national agenda, a regional agenda, an international agenda. But I'm a firm believer in take care of home first. Because if you don't take care of home, how can I go abroad and home is not right? You know, so
that's
you have to take care of home first. You know, and we can start out because
that's
on
what
Monday,
said as well. That's right.
April the 25th, on Monday, April the 25th, is going to be a big advocacy day in New York, in Albany. And this day is beginning the National Crime Victims Week. Okay, so if anybody want to write that down, on April the 25th, it's the beginning of National Crime Victims Week. So it's going to be a lot of people that is going to be in New York, advocating for, you know, parole justice and survivor justice and things of that nature. So they're really close to passing legislation to get the elderly out of prison. And if they do, then we have a political prisoner in New York that would benefit from it because she's been in prison for 16 years. I just told y'all about her. Her name is Reverend Joy Powell. So if this does come into law, then this would free her. But then you have to look at how the United States do things because that's only in New York. What about New Jersey? What about other states? See what I'm saying? So you have all of these lower courts and higher courts, Supreme Court, all these different rules and regulations. It's no consistency at all.
Whatsoever.
In all of the states, you know, so each state you go to is something different. And it's so sad that it's by design that it's that way. But it's so sad that we can't get that legislation changed throughout the whole country, you know. So, like I said, we're behind. We have no more time to really do a lot of talking. We have to really be hands-on.
That's right. Show up or sit down.
Because our seasoned freedom fighters are dying in prison. They are sick. They're older. They're caged. I mean, they're not getting the attention that they need. So we need people. We need hands on. All hands on deck, for real. All hands on deck.
Amen. You know what? That's why I was saying to Sister Mayette, being young, she's just turned 29. I mean, a young seasoned, I call veteran, because of the stuff. I'm talking about my sister who's our co-host tonight. She's also, like I said, powerful because being so young, I mean, she has that tunnel vision. And Brother Curtis, we'll give you the floor in a second. But she has that tunnel vision now that you may get thinking. I'll call her Miss 40, you know, symbolic for 40 years because she's really ahead of her time. And she knows I know that. You know what I mean? So you're absolutely on point. But let me say this here, then, Sister, don't y'all go away because we still got a little bit of time. I want y'all to know this here, and then Curtis. And so what you're saying, Sister Robinson, is you're perfectly right, because all of our black political prisoners are dying because of the fact, on most part, they are fear, they're threatened, they're giving them medications, they're giving them deliberately diseases and things of this nature. So y'all got to realize we're constantly dying out. And if we don't do something about what's going on, y'all, we're going to be in serious dire need. Right now, we're on an endangered species list as an endangered species. Brother Curtis, what you think? Am I right about that or what?
The thing that they fear the most is reparations, is payment for the wrong done. And it's catching on, and people is talking about it. They're beginning to understand the definition. Reparations for African descendants of Africa is long overdue. They pay everybody reparations. They giving the Jews that escaped the concentration camps with the Nazi Germans, they giving them reparations.
That's so right, they ain't giving us nothing, man.
Yeah.
Now, Greg Robinson, who is an economist from Tulsa, Oklahoma. He was the head of an organization here in Tulsa. He said that they owe us $15 quadrillion.
I believe it.
And that is control. They got the money. They build anytime
they
people in Europe need some money. They dip into that money.
Give it to them, don't it? $4 billion and all that. You doggone right, they got it. Where they get it from? You right.
Yes. They already got it. They just, they're spending.
No,
they
right. You're right. I'm agreeing with you.
Giving us none of it. And his name is Greg Roy. He's a brilliant economist. He's passed. He's deceased. But his son ran for the mayor of Tulsa, Oklahoma. He almost made it. But they ganged up on him and he lost it. Reparations is one of the things that can be used to educate and bring people together, because they owe us for the wrong done. Reparation is payment for the wrong done.
I got
you. You can look at it any way you want to. But the thing that poor people need more than anything else is economics.
Money. Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Go ahead, Cuba. Go ahead.
And they ain't even discussing it, because they know the amount of money that's involved. But they gonna give the people and what's the name of that place over in Europe where the Russians are fighting?
Ukraine. Yeah, they're giving them all the money, not us.
I don't know if he got cut out.
Oh, I think he probably did. All right, we got another revolutionary from Denver, Colorado on the line. That's my brother and comrade, Brother Omar. Talk to me, Brother Omar. You've been kind of listening. You've been getting off and on because, like I say, you've been incarcerated. You have to hit it and miss it here and there. So talk to me, man. What's going on? What are we looking at here?
Yeah, I'm just listening, brother, and thank you again for bringing me in this platform. It's a beautiful opportunity, you know. Appreciate you and everybody putting this together.
Uh-huh. You're definitely welcome. So how's your situation?
You know, this fighting for liberation, my brother, you know, just being stonewalled, and, you know, supposed to be getting up out of here soon, God willing, you know, case manager running away from
they
me.
They cut
me
off.
And her, you know, get to the other side of the walls. You know, she's aware that, you know, I know that you can have an interstate compact within 120 days instead of the year that she suggested, you know, and they want to keep me in the state of Colorado. And
They want to bother you. Yeah.
You know, I'm from Florida, you know, so I'm a native of Florida. All my supporters in Florida.
Gotcha.
Trying to explain to my people that, you know, some people in my family that I'm not the average prisoner because of what I know when I've been fighting. So, you know, like you're talking about the political prisoners, this podcast and this one before it, you know, this is a highly political situation because on my website, prayerbrothers.com, and you know, my Instagram at prayerbrothers explains you know, indictment scheme, how they're railroading people to prison, you know, so they're stalling and stonewalling, but you know, I see them, you know, they're afraid of what I know and afraid of allowing me to get further away from their reach, you know, so they just put a, you know, parole violation on me, or, you know, they want to know where I'm going, you know, more of what I'm doing, and, you know, they don't want me to be in closer to people like, you know, you and other people and farther away from them, you know?
Gotcha.
So, I see it, you know, and I was trying to explain to people that it's just not a regular situation as far as when it comes to my freedom. You know, I'm not saying I'm not putting my foot on the gas, you know, I am pushing the gas.
That's it.
You know, but I see that, you know, at the end of the day, the gangs are playing.
I can say. Well, let me say this, brother. I did tell you that I did go on your freeoutbrothers.com and write you a big old article real nicely and talked about your wrongful incarceration. I talked about the system in Denver, how it is mirroring the system basically in every state, and that is not following the dictates of grand juries and things of that nature. So I don't know if you had a chance to go read it yet, but I lit it up for you, brother. You know I'm going to do it. If you tell me to do something, it's over with. I'm handling that.
That's wonderful, man, because you know, I appreciate that because, like I was telling you, you know, the hardest thing, one of the hardest things is to be recognized by certain circles.
Yes.
A prisoner because of certain people, even within the black community, maybe more than other communities, they feel that if you don't have certain legal credentials or people backing you, they don't even want to hear what you got to say.
That's
so, you know, I salute you for taking that stand and doing the research and having the will and the desire to say that what is going on in this case, and not just this case, but statewide, man, that's huge, man. You can't even get people to send a tweet out nowadays.
Yeah.
So, I salute you, brother, man. I appreciate it.
Well,
that,
man, your God is good,
I'm
you know.
I'm ready to find a call.
Yeah.
You're right about you, you know. It's been a beautiful experience.
Yes, beautiful, brother. Then we're going to go to our sister, man. Yeah, but let me say this right quick before you get off. My whole point, brother, man, is not to receive any accolades from man or anything, but when you do what's good and do what's right by the all-creator rather than just be doing something to be seen of man, word travels about you, you know? So that's what I like doing. Now, let me tell you to every one of y'all that's listening to this broadcast, let me go to Sister Mayhead once more. She's been very patient with it. Let me tell y'all this. If you're a revolutionary, this is what they see you as. And like in your case, brother, we talked about it before you got on, how they want to try to keep you around, harass you. They don't want to let you go because you started some stink up in there in Denver, and they don't want you to go back to Florida. They want to keep handcuffs on you, like you said. So when you get out there, lie on you, set you up with drugs. Brother, man, this is nothing new. This is how this racist, white supremacist government does it. Somebody they don't like, and you get out, you in their city, you did it, whether you did it or not. Okay, so let me say this right quick. So this is what they see of us as being, y'all. They call us defiant, insurgents, radical, notorious, insubordinate, and the list goes on and on and on. But yeah, am I accurate in those statements or what? What's going on? Was I far-fetched or what? Talk to me.
I'm back on the head cutting me off.
Oh, who's that, Kurt? Let me get up right quick now. I'll cut you coming right back at you. Hear about as soon as you finish. Go ahead on. We got a little bit of time, y'all. You went off. You got cut off. So that's what we went on. Go ahead.
I wanted to touch with the lady on the air was saying, excuse me, it's so hard for me to learn names. I'm beating people constantly.
Mr. Robinson.
But,
Robin.
I feel I have an opinion when it comes to, like, us reaching out and us really, I would say an idea. We really do need to come together and, like, get really connected. Like, even if we're in different states, if it's something specific that you do as far as legal, as far as, you know, community service, whatever your, you know, unique niche is, you know what I mean? We can start networking, you know, over a specific email or create a website where we can all start linking up with each other.
Do something like
once we connect the link with each other, then that's when, okay, well, you know, now we have each other's landline. We have each other's, you know, address and all these things.
Mm-hmm.
So if we ever do get to the point to where we somehow take it down or somehow it's getting too big, then they can't break that connection. You know what I mean? They can't break those direct connections with each other, so that when it's time to do business and they try to cut it off where they think they're going to cut it off, they won't have the opportunity to. And it's just, I've been constantly on my head. I'm sorry, Michael. I'm off, but I'm still.
No, come on. You're all right.
But, you know, I'm looking, like I was saying, when we go back to the Ukraine war, to bring it, you know, the, you know, Ukraine and Russia war that's going on right now, we all need to see behind their agenda. We need to see what their true agenda is, because I can't even watch the news now. And I was starting to watch the news and really get into it, and it's like all I want to do is fuss at it. All I want to do is say, you're lying. You've been lying. You know what I mean? Like, I can't even watch it anymore because I know they lie. I catch the highlights and catch the articles that they post.
Yeah.
But I can't watch the news because it makes me mad. But back on that, like, you know, us really connecting, coming together and being on the same page about everything is going to make everything move in our favor. You know what I mean? And then on top of that, we've seen too many times before that they are not willing to invest in us and give us our money and stop playing with it when they know
all
they
right.
should have been done this before anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it bothers me when people are like, oh, well, you know, they're giving us our reparations with this stimulus check. No, they're not. That's not what they're doing. Quit taking their little $1,000 here and their little $2,000-$3,000 here, because, you know, that's nothing to them. They're just putting out money. They're, you know, more towards their plan. Everything they do is strategic. They're not doing something just for no reason. So that's why we need to pay attention to everything that's going on and see how it affects us, whether it's New York, Oklahoma, Florida, wherever we are. You know what I mean? They're doing things on a smaller scale and on a larger scale to fit their agenda for whatever they desire. And the more that we keep on our agenda and, you know, and make sure we make the connections we need to and work together when it comes to certain things, whether it's on a state level or, you know, or on the whole federal level, you know, we can better – they're doing their own thing. We need to start organizing our own. You know what I mean?
I say, you know what? That's absolutely – oh, my goodness.
Same.
Go ahead.
Like, I've been on that same thing, a constant. We just been on the same thing constant, you know, where we're still divided. You know, I don't care. I tell people all the time, I don't care what organization you are. I care about mine. I know my agenda. I know our agenda. I know what we're doing. And it coincides with everything that our revolutionaries before us has said and done and preached and did all these things for and showed us examples for. But if you're willing to work for the people and you are really about it, then go ahead and just do it. That's what happened to me. I didn't just say, oh, well, okay, 3 years from now, you know, I'm going to be a revolutionary. I had no idea. So
that's
just
right.
Answer the call. You know what I mean? And if you're going to take the call, you know, push it. You know what I mean? You know, come out here, work, do what you need to do. You know what I mean?
I see. Let me get Brother Curtis back to Sister Robson and get you, because he got cut off. He had something on his mind, and then we're going right back to you. This is People Power Radio. Y'all, we're right here in Oklahoma City doing the host with the most. I am Baba Wittoff, father of many nations, and my co-host is Mayat, the ever-brilliant Yuboah, right here in Oklahoma City. We're here on Live Line with our very wonderful revolutionary who's been in the cause for many years, very sharp, very witty, and she's Sister Sparkle Robinson, and my brother Curtis Mother in Tulsa, Oklahoma, as well as my good friend Omar Gent. Brother Curtis, let me go and give you some more time here, and then we're going to get back on air and let Sister Robinson correspond and respond to what the sister just mentioned. Go ahead, Brother Curtis, because you did get cut off.
Most people don't have a clue as to what is happening in Russia. I'm going to go back a little bit in the history, and I'm not going to I'm not gonna run it out to no hour. It's very simple. During the Second World War, the Jews, Hitler's Jews, and took over Israel, and they became the leading people there. Then it had nothing to do with the Jews that was in the concentration camps, who genocide had been committed against. It was Nazi Jews that were sent to Israel. These same Jews, are you still there? These same Jews were sent to, what's the name of that place where they fighting it in Russia?
Ukraine and in Russia,
The Ukraine was Treblinka and all the concentration camps were at. And the Nazis put the Jews in charge of the concentration camp to select the people who were going to die. Read Treblinka. The whole story is in the book titled Treblinka. These Nazi Jews are the ones that were killing 1,000 people a day in crematoriums and assassinations. The Russians were the ones that went into Ukraine and cut that shit out quick.
Is that right?
This is what they're in there fighting about now. Now, I can't tell you this whole story, but the dynamic of what happened back there in those concentration camps, is a direct result of what's going over there right now today. Now, it's convoluted. But it was a Nazi, Israeli, Mossad, Hitler Jews that escaped to, what's the name of that place?
Ukraine.
That escaped to Ukraine. And the Russians went in there and started the kicking their ass and running them out of there. It was a direct result of the dynamic that's created the situation that's over there right now. Difficult to understand. But if you study it, you know why the Russians are doing what they're doing over there.
I got you. All right, Brother Curtis, let me go back to Sister Robinson. I think she wanted to respond. I have whatever's on her mind. And y'all don't go away because we get ready to have our parting shots here. And, again, I want y'all to know before we go off the air, those who are listeners as well, we're going to do a show next week on black deserved reparations. So, again, come on, Sister Robinson. Well, again, we're going to do next Saturday, do black deserved reparations. Go ahead, Sister. Let's talk some of that.
Well, I believe we do deserve reparations. We know that. But, again, you know, it's going to be dependent on where you're geographically located at, depending on what you get. Because I know in North Carolina at one time, they were saying, hey, we're going to send melanated people to college for 2 years, and that's reparations.
Right, I heard.
You know.
I heard.
And they were some people were okay with that. And then like in California, they agreed to two different task force agreed to pass reparations in California based on lineage. So overall, I'm not really sure what to expect as far as reparations are concerned, because of course they can give us reparations, but will they? That's the thing. Will they, and how will they distribute reparations from state to state to state? It's going to be different, I believe.
Okay. Go ahead. Did you cut off? Were you finished? I heard you cut off. Are you still on?
No, I'm finished. I'm still here, but I'm finished. But, you know, that's my point, that, you know, I just think it's unfair the way the system is set up, because, you know, you have all, like I said, you have all these different courts and things, and the laws are always going to be different from state to state to state. And in Texas, I mean, they like their own country. So So you just never know what's coming down the pike for real.
Yep, okay, I see. I see. Sister Mayav, what you got on that? Well, talk to me. I ain't. Y'all, we going around the horn. We coming. Y'all got plenty more time, so y'all get. Talk to me.
I say it's definitely different on the state level. You know, you got all kinds of, oh my God, all kinds of laws being made, and some that we don't even know about that is going on. But like I said earlier, we're gonna have to network, and I see network and education being the two biggest things. Like we've all said before, you know, education, you know, knowing ourselves, knowing where we came from, being connected to one vision and really fulfilling that vision over anything else, because we have not only a physical war that could happen, we have a psychological war that is going on with our people and going on amongst us, activists and revolutionaries. Sometimes they even play us with certain things, you know. So and then
come
put
on,
people
always.
In. So it's the small battles we're going to have to win in order to unite. And the battles within us and, you know, us getting actually together and getting organized, putting our differences aside and really putting our best foot forward out here, because they're not slowing up on their, you know, what they plan to do. You know, the things that they have going on don't have anything to do with us, but they always will affect us. And when it comes to reparations, we're going to have to fight for them. There ain't no way they're going to give it up to us that easily. So we're going to have to fight for it. You know, everyone else is being handed, you know, their reparations are being, oh, well, since y'all coming over here, we're going to throw this deal and offer to you over here for nothing. You know what I mean? And set them up with a life that we are still that we're still fighting for. And we shouldn't be fighting for when we're the ones that made a good chunk of this happen. All y'all did was bring us over here. And then it was others that were already here. And they don't want to talk about that. They definitely don't want to talk about that. So, you know, like I said, we're gonna have to get together. We're gonna have to have round table discussions, you know, about things. You know what I mean? About this progress. And you know, reparations it's not gonna come easy for us, as we have seen.
No, it's not.
I'm sorry, but we might have to shed blood over our reparations, because that's what it's
going to be.
That's exactly what it's looking like. They're not gonna want to
hear
that.
You know what? Let me say this here, y'all. Like I say, you still got about 20 minutes, and we're gonna give y'all 3 minutes roundtable. But let me tell you right here, you are right, Mayak. And for the most part, people have to realize this. Everybody that's listening, like I said, this coming Thursday, we're going to talk about what we think about Joe Biden signing the Emmett Till Anti-Lynching Act into law. Now, I think that was a bunch of false, a bunch of fake baloney, but again, we're going to talk about that probably Thursday. And now, Saturday, y'all book yourselves in. Saturday, we're going to talk about, do blacks deserve reparations? Hey, y'all, know this is the show. We're going to put it out there. People have been requesting it. I mean, we got the lines lighting up right now, thinking, oh, man, we were waiting on y'all to get back on those topics again. Bling, 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 and going on. Well, this is y'all show. If y'all request it, here it comes. So let me say this here one moment, and y'all got the floor. Again, so this coming Thursday, we're going to talk about what the significance of Biden signing in the Emmett Till Anti-Lynching Act, what that means to America, black African Americans here in the Western Hemisphere of dogmatic America. And Saturday, we're going to talk about reparations. Do blacks deserve reparations? Now, y'all can hit on the topic if you want to a little bit, Brother Omar. Talk to me on either one of those subjects, because like you say, now it is what you call free time, because we got about 20 minutes left. So do we deserve reparations, Brother Omar, what?
Oh, yes, my brother, reparations is a must, you know, they really can't pay what they owe. You're talking about trillions on top of trillions. Well, you do have that burden, you know, and upon them, you know, for free labor and, you know, destroying us, you know, systemically, and, you know, and you just see the in education and you know, healthcare and all the different ways that they deliberately came up with policies to keep us, you know, in generational basic slavery, you know,
sure.
No form of slavery, and various you know, imprisonment, you know, drug abuse, various things, man,
yes,
you know,
sir.
And
yes, sir.
Like the sister said, networking is very important, you know.
Oh, shit.
Because me being behind these walls, I see, you know, they have so much power to hide things and to keep the struggles invisible. So that's why I've been reaching out to the other side, you
yes.
know, people like you.
Yes.
And asking people to network with me on
yes.
Instagram at Free Our Brothers and, you know, basically Facebook at Free Our Brothers, you know, to try to get the word out because they have the nation inside the nation. In prison, you know, and the Emmett Till bill, I wrote that down when it came out, my brother, and I was just like thinking, it took all those years to get that bill
isn't
passed,
that something, man?
Who's going to force the laws, you know, the same people that's showing us a lawless nature, lawless acts, you know, racism, you know, vandalism, again and again, you know, and
yes. Got about a minute left, brother, I don't mean to cut you off, got a minute left, like, so we're winding down, but go ahead, keep talking, I'll just let you know.
To me, this goes back to this, you know, us, like the sister was saying, networking, getting our reparations, and educating ourselves.
I see. All right, then. Brother Curtis, you got 3 minutes, brother. Like I said, we're on in. But go ahead. Give us our parting shots, y'all. And again, Sister Mayette and ourselves would be the last two. Then after you, Brother Curtis, we'll be our beautiful sister up there, Sparkle Robinson. And then we'll go and we'll let everybody know we're getting ready to get off there. Go ahead, Brother Curtis. Talk to me. Do we deserve reparations or you want to talk about whatever? Go ahead.
Reparations is payment for the wrong done, plain and simple. You can call it any other thing you want to call. They did us wrong. They raped
right,
our
sir.
Mother, our
that's
daughters,
right. yes.
and our sons.
That's
they
right. Hey, woo.
I'm saying.
We were chattel slaves. They could do anything they wanted to do to us.
Yes, and got away with it.
Matter of fact, when they ran out of food when they first came here, they cooked us and
that's right. They like cannibal. You damn right they did.
This is history. Ain't had nothing to do with Thanksgiving. You know? That's what they did to us. Reparation is payment for the wrong done. If they have to pay for it, they go broke, then that's what it is. They got
mm-hmm.
to pay up. And if the conditions worsen, which we understand, conditions got to get better before they get any better. And
it's going to come to that extent.
Absolutely.
I
absolutely. Should. Good night,
brother.
You got
about 40 seconds, brother. Go ahead. Now, I'll just tell you, you got 40 seconds if you still want to use it.
Are you talking to somebody else?
No, I'm telling you. That's why I say you still got 40 seconds if you want to use it.
Yeah. What people don't want to understand, and I don't understand why they have so much difficulty with it, is understanding what reparations is. That name stops people in their tracks. Reparations for the wrong done to us as a people. When they brought us into this country, they did us wrong, and they got to pay for it.
Yes, sir, brother.
I see.
Yes, sir. I see. Yes, sir. They got to pay for that. Now, let me cut you off, brother, because that winds us down again. We want to have a few parting shots and notes to address to our audience out here, live listeners. Sister Robson, come on, talk to me. What's on your mind, sister? Whatever you want to talk about, you got 3 minutes.
Oh, okay. Well, as far as the anti-lynching law being put, being signed, it's about time. So, you know,
wow.
I'm not jumping up and down. Something that should have
right.
been done. The bigger question for me is, why did the Asian people get an executive order like a week
Damn.
After those 7 or 8 got killed in those salons, and we suffered Ooh. Longer in this country than anybody, over 500 years now, okay? And we
wow.
still fighting for an executive order, but we haven't got one. So guess what I was told? The reason we don't have an executive order is because too many of us are using government services, meaning housing, food stamps, things of that nature.
So
get our people to stop putting Band-Aids on the problem and look at the bigger solution. Everybody like handouts, okay? Stop giving people food. Teach them to be agriculturally inclined so we can have community gardens, grow our own vegetables. That's going to lead to jobs and so on and so forth. Let's get our communities back intact where we can have that Tulsa, Oklahoma again in every neighborhood.
Yeah.
So it's up to us. We want it. Let's do it.
I see. That's deep. You still got a minute. Go ahead. You still got a minute. Wow.
In addition to that, I want to talk about this 1619 critical race theory. I don't agree with that either because it's not teaching the proper history, or it's not teaching our story, shall I say, because, you know, they're teaching that we just came over here in these big ships and we just landed in Virginia in 1619, and that's not true altogether. It was a handful of us that came, but we were already here. Where was the indigenous people? We were already here.
Not to let us know that, though.
So if we are not going to teach our children properly in these schools, take them out. Let's homeschool our kids. Let's grow gardens. It's a way to get around this government, okay? We just have to stick together and start the work. Do the work.
Wow. You got about 30 seconds. Wait on. You still got it. Wow. Boy, that was ice water. More power to the people. Thank you, sister. My goodness, y'all, Curtis, lighting it up tonight. Okay, sister Maya, go ahead, talk to me now. You still got your 3 minutes parting shot. Talk to me.
I say, like I said earlier, one way we can really start, you know, the networking, the education portion has to be important. But the want to educate, we need our teachers, we need our professors to really step up too and actually push for our culture to be taught within their classrooms, you know what I mean, or within their communities. And it shouldn't be just sitting back and just letting it happen. Oh, well, they're going to pass this. But what happens to our teachers, our black teachers that, you know, want to push it? What happens to them? Because I know a couple of them, and I've went to school with some of them, and some of my former classmates are teachers. So they even try to incorporate our history into it, but with permission from the parents. Like, things like that can be done to work around whatever it is that they want. I've shared a personal story before. I was probably maybe in the 7th or 8th grade middle school, and this lady, I still can't remember her name, but I remember her face. She took all the African-American kids that were in the school. And I was in Moore District, Oklahoma, if you know where that is. There's not a lot of us over there. It wasn't a lot of us back when I was going to school, but now it's starting to, you know, we're starting to migrate out there. But, yeah,
that's
she
right.
came out. She came out there and she took all of the students, which was maybe 10, 15 of us within the middle school that were willing to go, and the parents were okay with them going on a trip. She took us to a couple of places, historical places in Oklahoma, and even just had a talk with us about history, about who we are. And that was one of the first things that I just really that really sparked that in me while I was young, along with other influences. But we've got to get to that point to where we're lighting other, you know what I mean? If it's just a conversation over the phone,
30 seconds,
gas station. So as long as we light those sparks, we're gonna get everybody on board, or they're gonna at least be aware of what's going on.
Ashe, thank y'all very much again. That was my co-host, Sister Mayette, your boy right here in Oklahoma City. I'm Brother Baba Wetaffa right here, Father of Many Nations. We are here tonight talking about releasing of our political prisoners. Now, part 2. Again, we want to thank our illustrious, very intelligent, highly motivated guest, Brother Curtis Mullins from Tulsa, Oklahoma. And again, my beautiful sister up there. Yeah, thank you. Sister, matter of fact, Robson, Sister Robson, are you in Detroit?
I'm in D.C.
D.C. Okay, rightful D.C. Okay, well, I just want everybody to know. See, people think I be lying when I tell them that we all over the world, and then, like I say, a brother just got off the street. He's from Denver. I told y'all, when we be on our show, people be listening in, y'all, from all over the nation.
Yes.
So we just want to let them know that we are definitely recognizing them. So, I'm sorry?
Pass my phone number to the goddess Maya, please. Thank you.
Oh, I will. I certainly will. So as soon as we get off, I definitely will. You got my word. So let me say this here, y'all, my parting shots. Again, thank y'all again for listening to People Power Radio once again. This is y'all's show, man. I mean, we're just here to let your voices be heard. We want the voices of the unheard heard, as well as those prisons. As y'all see, we reach out to any and everyone who is being dogged out, disrespected, disregarded by the white supremacist judicial system, which is responsible for collectively incarcerating our black men and women here in the United States of America. I say that again because that's just exactly what it is. I'm not going to call it anything less, because if I did, I wouldn't be true to myself or you. So let me say a few more things here before we get off the air again, and then we'll be able to go into our back room for about 15 minutes. Sister Robson told us about this Reverend Joy Powell, who has been incarcerated now for 16 years, and she suggested that any one of you may want to, definitely, I'm going to definitely correspond with her, because I think this is a very brilliant idea, and this sister being, again, a political prisoner. Not only do we have male political prisoners, we have female political prisoners. Ashanti Shakur right there, still a political prisoner, can't come home over there in Cuba. So, again, we got more than just brothers here. But let me say this here. She's in Bedford Hills, New York, correctional facility. Bedford Hills Correctional Facility in New York City. And her prison number is 07G0632. Now, did I say that right, Sister Robson? 07G0632?
I have to look it up. Give me a second to get back in it.
Okay. But the post office box to the prison is 1000 Bedford Hill, New York. And again, that's Reverend Joy Powell, an African-American sister who is incarcerated now for no more than just not believing in this subversive political system in the United States of America. And also, sister also told us about April 25th in New York City is going to be the beginning of National Crime Victims Week. So, again, we want to definitely try to be focused on that and see if we can get more information on that and being tuned in and that as well. And also, again, y'all, this coming Thursday we're going to talk about the significance, or is it important, that Joe Biden signed into law the Emmett Till Anti-Lynching Act, and rather what it does for African Americans, or is important, is it significant, or what? However, this coming Saturday now, y'all keep your calendars lit, because we're going to be on fire. This Saturday we're going to talk about, this upcoming Saturday, is reparations. Do blacks deserve reparations? So, again, we want everybody to know that thank you very much for joining us. And, again, this is y'all's show. We are here simply to just give you a voice where you need a voice. And, again, if you feel that you have something you want to say to us, don't hold back, y'all. I mean, there's no right or wrong. We're not going to ridicule you for your thoughts, your ideas, or your opinions, because why? We love everybody's abilities to help me learn. I learn if you think different from me. So if you can help me better myself by including what you know with what I know, I'm going to be a hard road to hoe, bottom line. So please disagree with me, because when you do, you're going to make me research. But guess what? If I research and I get you, don't get mad at me, because I'm going to tell you what I think. I'm going to do it respectfully, but I'm just going to tell you, hey, this is my idea, and I'm going to stick with it, bottom line. But again, y'all, thank y'all for joining us. Ashe, thank y'all again for joining us. We're getting ready to go into a back room. Again, y'all, if y'all have any ideas for the show, please call me up at area code 405-246-9089. That's area code 405-246-9089. And the organizations that I represent is Oklahoma Coalition Against People Abuse, as well as Empower People Incorporated, where our motto is change your world and your world will change around you. We're definitely associated with our illustrious and well-esteemed guest, Sister Mayette, who's over the Fred Hampton Gun Club, who you know was assassinated. His brother was assassinated in the 1960s. Because of his revolutionary political ideas that were against the subversive, unconstitutional, wicked practices of the United States government. He was a brother ahead of his time. So, again, y'all, we want to let everybody know that we are talking about significant figures in who we follow and represent. And the sister already talked about Brother Khalid Muhammad, again, a good friend of mine, and I've personally met him in New York. And, again, very beautiful brothers like Fred Hampton. Again, we talked about Brother Jamal Alameen and Brother Muhammad and brother and other sisters here. So, y'all, let me get ready to say thank y'all very much. We just don't want to leave without saying goodbye to y'all. So we get ready to go into our back room again, y'all. Thank y'all so much, and we just love y'all. And if we can, do one thing for me. Love your family. Tell them tonight that you love them, because tomorrow's not promised to y'all. Be blessed, everybody, and we get ready. Oh, thank. Wait a minute, Sister Robinson. You got a number you're going to give me, didn't you, before I go. Didn't you have it?
The number, the prison number for Reverend Joy Powell is 07G0632. Again, that's 07G as in George, 0632.
You got it. Okay. So, again, y'all, Sister Reverend Joy's prison number is 07G0632. And, again, a post office box, if you want to write to her, send her books or what have you. And just even if you drop a line, let her know, hey, sister, you're on our minds. I mean, we need to start doing this, y'all. I mean, that's why I took this number. Now I'm going to write it. Post office box 1000 and Reverend Joy Powell. And you said, again, you said something. If you want to send her a book, you got to go to www.pay.com or something like that. What was that?
Prison first, but you can only send soft paperback books. You cannot send any hardbacks. And she's a beautician. She loves her books. She loves her books, stuff like that.
Okay. All right. Okay. Definitely it's her books. All right. So, again, y'all, we're getting ready to get off the air and yet in our back room, so y'all, though, our guests don't have to hang up just yet, because we're still going to be actually on the air, but not on the air. We won't be able to talk, but they'll still be able to hear us here and there. So I just want to let y'all know that. So, again, thank y'all very much. And, again, hey, if you got an idea for a show, please let us know, because, hey, your ideas, your thoughts and opinions count. Let me say, on behalf of Sister Mayette Dubois and our esteemed guest tonight, y'all be blessed. And again, all our guests today, don't go in just yet, because we got 15 minutes in the back room. Be blessed, everybody, and have a great, great, great weekend.
Ashe.
All right, y'all. We are Ashe.
Ashe.
So, all right, Brother Curtis, you did. You know, you always do an excellent job. You got Sister May, yeah, you convinced her that you know what you're talking about. So, she that's why she said, man, when is he going to be on? I don't want to talk to him again. He be there. I learned some stuff I didn't know nothing about before I was born. I said, you too? Me too?
Yeah.
Yeah, Brother Curtis. Hey, man, it's great, brother. You know, we've been around for a minute. So what's on your mind, Brother Curtis? What you got for this weekend going on, man? We got about, like I said, between us, we got about 12 minutes.
I'm just reading this weekend. I'm 87 years old. And I don't stop reading. I don't stop reading. I wake up in the morning reading. I'm learning something. And I'm gonna send you the articles that I have researched and written about.
Okay.
Take me a little while to get them all together, but I'm gonna send them to you.
Okay. Yeah, I don't mind telling them I'm a mentor. You're a mentor of mine, man. I'll get on the bullhorn and say, come on with it. Shit.
Yeah.
Okay. I told you I was motivated by you years ago when we met. Yes.
You got it.
And may I was right on my team, too. And like, yeah. So Mayad and the brother in Denver, Omar and his brother here. Yeah, we did hear the brother Curtis, man. Like I say, we learning from you, brother. It ain't nothing. We can't do nothing for us to do it but to stop us, and we only stop ourselves. You know, so I'm not worried about the rest. I just appreciate it. Mayad, what's up? What you think about tonight's program?
I'll say it was beautiful, like it always is. You know, it's never. Every show I always learn something, or I gain a little token of knowledge along the way. And each show, different speakers and everybody coming from either something they've experienced or something that was going on in their era, it all brings it all back together, that it's not changing, and it shows the consistency and inconsistency in what we're doing. Through a microscope. Now you can really see it, because we've been fighting for so long, you know, and now we can see the patterns and we can see what's going on. So it's time for us to look back but keep looking forward at the same time. So like I said, every show I'm getting a little bit more tokens of knowledge to add to my collective self in my head already.
Working. They evacuated.
Yeah, well, That's the purpose that we want to know, man, because like I said, no matter what you say on one show, there's always going to be something you didn't say. And you can always add to that to polish up what you need to say. And like I said, I've been knowing Brother Curtis for years. He's been on a firing line. I'm talking about not behind the scenes. I mean, that man's been shouting here and there. And matter of fact, run for several political offices as well. So he's definitely well aware of the political, economic, and social scenes in our society here in America. So I like the fact that he's, like I say, a polished, seasoned veteran. I mean, I've learned so much from him. We've done a lot of writings and correspondence, as you just heard him say he's going to send me some more paperwork, and what he do, I definitely quote many quotes that he send me and let everybody know that I get it from him. So, again, I love the fact that I get it. I'm getting his brother stating that he's passing the torch on to me, as he know as he knows in good hands with Allstate. So, you know, I'm honored that I was chosen over a lot of other people that he knows. And for that most part, Brother Curtis, thank you so much for that, man. I'm just going to try to make sure that I am going to make sure that you're proud of what I'm doing, brother. Talk to me on it.
You make you awaken people from a deep sleep. That's one of the things that's bothering us for a long time. We've been sleeping. We've been put to sleep with television and radio and these crooked politicians and preachers. They get paid to hypnotize us. That's what I was trained. That's what I was trained in the military. They drafted me from the Rockefeller Foundation where I was the assistant to the chief accountant. And they sent me to infantry training, taught me how to kill. After they finished my infantry training, they sent me to Georgia to study cryptography, teletype, and tape relay communication. From there, they sent me to Japan, where they taught me post-hypnotic suggestion and people control. That's the type of thing that they call today mind control. And then they sent me from Japan to Korea and told me to practice on the people in my company. I didn't know how dangerous that stuff was, but I knew I wasn't going to tell nobody to do nothing that was going to hurt somebody. And what they taught me, I see it happening right in the community that we live in. A lot of the people that's in the community that we live in have been hypnotized. That they minds are being controlled by outside source, and they don't even know it. You can hypnotize somebody. You can hypnotize somebody, and they don't even know they've been hypnotized. I talked to you about that on one of the programs that we have now. These people have been put to sleep, and there's a same female singer who married a Jamaican, and he hypnotized her and stole all of her money, you know. But we got to be alert on several fronts, because that's what they doing to these young women. And send me that address.
I'll send you the address after we get out there. I'll send it to you when we are. We got about 5 minutes left. May I talk to me on that? What's up now? You know, give me some last minutes. You know?
That really shocked me, because, you know, I am studying to be a licensed therapist, psychologist, you know, hopefully down the road a doctor after that point. So when it comes to, like, hypnosis and the mind, I'm really excited, you know, to talk about it. But to know that my whole, you know, theory in my head is, like, actually for real, is like, oh, that's crazy. You know what I mean? Because they're not going to share that with us. They give us a small portion of what we're capable of doing. We can, if we knew the program, we can undo the program. We just got to figure out the program. You know what I mean? That's where I think that we have to, even as non-doctors and, you know, non-psychologist, people just regular need to, like, hey, these are the signs of this, this, and this. We're smart enough to know, and some of us know but still willingly go into the program because it's easy to go that route, and I've seen that happen. But, you know, coming out of it, the Matrix and their whole vision for us, it's just like, whoa, wait a minute. I didn't understand
Matrix.
How big it was.
Yeah.
I didn't
Man,
understand how big the brainwashing is, and it runs deep.
Wow.
I look at my mother, my grandmother, my father, my grandpa. I look down the generations and said, wow, am I the one that you put in this position?
Yeah, they need you to break loose. Shoot.
I was like, and it was kind of scary to me for a second because I had had a woman that I had met in another previous event. She was like, you're good. You're in the position you're in because you're going to have to help them. And I didn't understand what she was saying until months and months later. It was this to where I could see what was going on. But it's kind of hard on a daily basis to see our people still go with the program when now it's just so easy for us to, you know, break free. And we don't even know it because we've been thoroughly brainwashed to think that that's hard. That's we're not supposed to go that way when that's really the way to go. It's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be easy to get there. But at the same time, the internal and the progress, all these things like the emotional feeling of not being in their system anymore feels totally different. You actually are living versus living in a cycle. And you feel like you have a chance at life. You know what I mean? And some of our people don't feel like they have a chance, so they don't try at all. So,
well, let me tell you, I don't mean to cut you off, but I commend you for wanting to possibly reach the profession of being a doctor. Do you know how many lack of black doctors we have in this world and how many of our people, let me say it clearly, who are being actually set up, poisoned, and killed by doctors of other colors and things. I mean, I'm serious. I'm not just saying this, Mayad. I mean, we need more sisters like yourself, brothers, who are not, we don't even have enough male doctors as well, because if we're not treated by our own kind, look what we are subjected to. Look at the heartaches we go in there for, a damn elbow pain, an elbow injury, come out dead. You know what I mean? Look at look at the medicine they give us. Mess with our mind. Brother Curtis, what's up? You laughing. What's up, man? Talk to me.
You don't know how real that is, man. In the military, they got people that they have killed. I'm telling you.
Wow.
And they don't even remember killing. They got this guy named, what's his name? They call him the Prince. He was in Iraq and with a group called the Blackwater. Blackwater was the name of the group. They killed so many people that he had hypnotized. And when they got out of the service and their memory came back to them, many of them committed suicide.
Yeah,
and
I've heard them, they do that.
Yeah,
wow.
And many of them are in mental institutions today when they realize the people that they done killed and the women that they done raped.
Wow, I got you. Yes.
You
horrible.
Know? And I was telling the people at a school meeting that I was invited to. My grandson was going to the school. They told me this is one of the ladies there who was hooked up into the parents' association. This is the exact word. She said, "Nigga, you crazy. They wouldn't do nothing like that to us." You know?
Now, Master have told me it would have been different. Man, you're right, though, man. Anytime, why is it always like that, man? Anytime black folks say something, boy, Master coming. See what Master told you? He wasn't lying. I told you I was right. Why are we like that, man? That's so crazy and idiotic. Hey, y'all, we got 2 minutes. Go ahead, man. Y'all go ahead and talk. I'm just letting y'all know so we cut off. You know why. We got 2 minutes. They get ready to cut me off.
the guy that trained me in hypnosis and post-hypnotic suggestions, he gave me two books. I still got the books if you want to read them.
Man, always, what you mean? All of it.
they describe to you, and I didn't believe it until the first person that I hypnotized, you know?
Yeah.
And when I got back out of the service, it was a polygram thing, you know, my friend,
yeah.
My relative.
You're getting ready to cut us off in 45 seconds, so now you can keep talking, but I'm letting you know it's getting ready to cut us off. Go ahead on.
My friends, they wanted me to hypnotize, and they used to come around on Saturday nights, and they drink wine and whatnot, and I would hypnotize them and have them do and say things they would not ordinarily do, and take me.
Yeah, they made
me.
Yeah,
they heard that, they didn't even want to believe it.
Yeah, 16 seconds, man. Hey, y'all, we getting ready to cut off. I don't want to disrespect y'all. We getting, Brother Curtis, we getting ready to cut us off. So, hey, you and I'll be talking, man. So, again, we got about 5 seconds here. All right, y'all be blessed, man. Thank y'all, man. It's always one love with y'all. Thank y'all. Appreciate y'all, man. Anytime y'all need me to holler at you, just let me know, man. If you need me to do something. Appreciate y'all. Peace out.
Thank you for doing